Welcome to the Number 10 Podcast. Bonus episode, the invitation to William. Hello, today we'll be hearing the text of the invitation to William written by the Immortal Seven that we spoke about last week. The signatories to the letter who made up the Immortal Seven were Charles Talbot, the Earl of Shrewsbury, William Cavendish, the Earl of Devonshire, Thomas Osborne, the Earl of Danby, Richard Lumley, Lord Lumley, Henry Compton, Bishop of London, Edward Russell, and Henry Sidney. Now, the letter was brought to William in the Netherlands by Rear Admiral Arthur Herbert, who had disguised himself as a sailor as to not be noticed. As we discussed last week, he had also been wronged by James, who dismissed him from the Navy for not voting to repeal the Test Act. Now, the letter and people in it are written in code in parts, but I'll let you know who they were as we go through. One I'll explain now is Monsieur Zoilstein, who is mentioned in the first line of the letter. This is William Hendrick of Nassau, Lord of Zoilstein, and later 1st Earl of Rochford. He was William of Orange's first cousin and served as a diplomat during the period, helping with the invasion preparations. So without further ado, the letter. We have great satisfaction to find by 35... Edward Russell, and since Monsieur Zoilstein, that your Highness is so ready and willing to give us such assistance as they have related to us. We have great reason to believe we shall be every day in a worse condition than we are, and less able to defend ourselves, and therefore we do earnestly wish we might be so happy as to find a remedy before it is too late for us to contribute to our own deliverance. But although these be our wishes, yet we will by no means put your Highness in any expectations which might misguide your own counsels in this matter, so that the best advice we can give is to inform your Highness truly both of the state of things here at this time and of the difficulties which appear to us. As to first, the people are so generally dissatisfied with the present conduct of the government in relation to their religion, liberties and properties, all of which have been greatly invaded, and they are in such expectation of their prospects being daily worse, that your Highness may be assured there are 19 parts of 20 of the people throughout the kingdom who are desirous of a change, and who, we believe, would willingly contribute to it if they had such a protection to countenance their rising as would secure them from being destroyed before they could get to be in a posture to defend themselves. It is no less certain that much the greatest part of the nobility and gentry are as much dissatisfied, although it is not safe to speak to many of them beforehand, and there is no doubt but that some of the most considerable of them would venture themselves with your Highness at your first landing, whose interests would be able to draw great numbers to them whenever they could protect them and the raising and drawing of men together. And if such a strength could be landed as were able to defend itself and them till they could be got together into some order, we make no question but that strength would quickly be increased to a number double to the army here, although their army should all remain firm to them, whereas we do upon very good grounds believe that their army then would be very much divided among themselves, many of the officers being so discontented that they continue in their service only for a subsistence, besides that some of their minds are known already. And very many of the common soldiers do daily show an aversion to the Popish religion, that there is the greatest probability imaginable of great numbers of deserters which would come from them should there be such an occasion. And amongst the seamen it is almost certain that there is not one in 10 who would do them any service in such a war. Besides all this, we do much doubt whether the present state of things will not yet be much changed to the worse before another year, by a great alteration which will probably be made both in the officers and soldiers of the army, and by such other changes as are not only to be expected from a packed parliament, but what the meeting of any parliament, in our present circumstances, may produce against those who will be looked upon as principal obstructors of their proceedings there. It being taken for granted that if things cannot be carried to their wishes in a parliamentary way, other measures will be put in execution by more violent means, and although such proceedings will then heighten the discontents, yet such courses will probably be taken at the time as will prevent all possible means of relieving ourselves. These considerations make us of the opinion that there is a season in which we may more probably contribute to our own safeties than hereafter, although we must own to your Royal Highness there are some judgments differing from ours in this particular. Insomuch that if the circumstances so with your Highness that you believe you can get here time enough in a condition to give assistances this year sufficient for a relief under the circumstances which have now been represented, we who subscribe this will not fail to attend your Highness upon your landing, and to do all that lies in our power to prepare others to be in as much readiness as such an action is capable of, where there is so much danger in communicating an affair of such a nature, till it be near the time of its being made public. But as we have already told your Highness, we must also lay our difficulties before your Highness, which are chiefly that we know not what alarm your preparations for this expedition may give, or what notice it will be necessary for you to give the states beforehand, by either of which means their intelligence or suspicions here may be such as may cause us to be secured before your landing. And we must presume to inform your Highness that your compliment upon the birth of the child, which not one in a thousand here believes to be the Queen's, hath done you some injury, the false imposing of that upon the Princess and the nation being not only an infinite exasperation of people's minds here, but being certainly one of the chief causes upon which the declaration of your entering the kingdom in a hostile manner must be founded on your part, although many other reasons are to be given on ours. If upon a due consideration of all these circumstances, your Highness shall think fit to adventure upon the attempt, or at least to make such preparations for it as is necessary, which we wish you may, there must be no more time lost in letting us know your resolution concerning it, and in what time we may depend that all preparations will be ready, as also whether your Highness does believe the preparations can be so managed as not to give them warning here, both to make them increase their force and to secure those they shall suspect would join with you. We need not say anything about ammunition, artillery, mortar pieces, spare arms, etc., because if you think fit to put any in execution, you will provide enough of these kinds, and will take care to bring some good engineers with you. And we have desired Mr. H, which refers to Mr. Herbert, the Rear Admiral, who delivered the letter, to consult you about all such matters, to whom we have communicated our thoughts in many particulars too tedious to have been written, and about which no certain resolutions can be taken till we have heard again from your Highness. And that was the invitation to William. Only a short one this week, but what I will say is, if you have any questions that you would like to put into ourselves, next week will be our question and answers episode, so please do get on it and send us something in, Facebook, Twitter, email. You should know what they are by now. And thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.